I prefer to say it was luck. Why didn't the same God save all the other people, all my other fellow Jews who died? I'm explaining this for you to have an understanding why men like Moshe Dayan, when they are being asked, are you religious, says no, certainly. Are you seeing where they're coming from? Are we together? Are we seeing where they're coming from? I want you to read something in Ezekiel. In verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Everyone said there was no breath in them. You see that? Bone to bone. Sinews. Muscles. They come up. By the power of God. But there was no breath. We are using this to paint a picture. To illustrate what has happened to Israel. 1948. It was prophesied in scripture. A nation born in one day. 1948. That was the hand of God. As you come to 1967. Israel has an army. It's a nation. Even today, it's a nation. But, do you think they're spiritual people? There are those who are religious in Israel. You can see them on TV, on internet. There are those who wear black outfits. They pray to this day for the coming of the Messiah. They are still praying, God will send the Messiah, which Moses talked about. They are still waiting because they don't believe in Jesus. To this day, Jews don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe he was the Messiah. You know what they say? The Messiah will unite the nation. Jesus divided the people. They can line up different arguments for you why they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Can you make them see the truth? No. Apostle Paul tells us a mystery. God blinded the Jew so that the gospel comes to you and I. Right?
Amen.
When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, says, forgive them, Father, they know not what they are doing. It was God's work. It was God's hand at work. The body was there. The muscles are there. But Ezekiel says there was no breath in all these bodies. May I ask you something? When you look at what has become of Israel. It's a nation. It's among the greatest nations we have in the world. In terms of technology, in terms of intelligence, the Mossad. You know, in Zambia we have intelligence, OP. Israel has the Mossad. America has the CIA, FBI. When you come to Israel, hey, you can't compare the Mossad. Even the relationship between America and Israel. America enjoys the intelligence that comes from Israel. It's a mutual relationship. They support each other. Do you think God did all he did to resurrect a dead nation? Put them together for them to have great intelligence in Mossad? For you and I to go there as tourists and say, oh, this is Bethlehem. Oh, let us go see River Jordan where Jesus was baptized. Is that the reason why God resurrected this nation? For Moshe Dayan to just say, well, you know, I identify with the history of the Bible and I have a responsibility. The rise of Israel has been very gradual through time. But I want us to observe things happening. When Jesus was preaching to the Jews, why did they not believe him? They believed they were Moses' disciples. There are two prophets they hold in high reverence. Who knows the two prophets Israelites respect a lot? Yes, brother. Moses and Elijah. That is true. Please, I want you to listen to this now carefully. Moses and Elijah. Open the scripture with me in John 9:28. Listen to the words they said to Jesus. John 9:28-29. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are. Did you hear that? Let us read all together. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. In other words, this Jesus you claim is the Messiah, is the Christ. No, God doesn't speak to him.
We want to monetize.
We believe in Moses. We believe God spoke to Moses. We are Moses' disciples. Wow. If they would only know what Moses would speak to them. Is it not strange? When Jesus called those three disciples and they saw a vision. Whom did they see speaking to Jesus? Do you remember? Moses and who?
Moses and Elijah.
Now these people say, we are Moses' disciples.
As
for this man, we don't know this fellow. But look here. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We know not from whence he is. Pay attention to the three things they said. Number one, we are Moses' disciples. Number two, God spake unto Moses. Number three, we don't know where this Jesus came from. You know that was a disrespectful phrase. Do you know people used to speak bad about even Jesus' parents? Some rumor went around, Jesus was born maybe even of fornication, maybe. Remember the story of how Mary got her pregnancy? You remember? Even Brother Joseph wanted to put her away privately. Do you really think everyone believed that story? It took God to speak to Joseph. Think about it. If those events happened in our time, would you believe it? You two ladies who were speaking about your marriages, huh? Before your wedding day, brother, you find she's expecting. He says, brother, I have an explanation. What explanation can you give? And then she says, you know, this day I was praying and then the Holy Ghost came. he's answering for himself. You need to know that was a very unusual event. Many people believe it today simply because, you know, when you repeat a story over and over again, people will accept it, not because they've verified the facts, but because everyone talks about it. Right? But it was not like that for Joseph. God had to give him an experience to know that it is true. Now, imagine what they said. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. That's how they rejected the ministry of Jesus. They rejected it on the basis of, we are Moses' disciples. It's the same behavior today. Very few people follow what the true fivefold ministry is preaching, because they say, we believe in Brother Branham.
If your fivefold ministry,
you don't truly believe Brother Branham if you don't have the spirit of insight and enlightenment which was on him. The spirit which spoke to Moses was the same spirit and anointing on Jesus Christ. You can't embrace Moses and reject Jesus Christ. It can't be. Number two. I want you to pay attention to the words Jesus spoke on the cross and what they said.
Matthew 27, verse 45.
This is our Lord. He was dying, going through that terrible, excruciating experience. Now, from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Now, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. He cried out. You know, they made a joke. They made fun of that. You know what they said? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. He's calling for Elijah. You know, the Jews were always in expectation that the Elijah who went to heaven, one day he'll come. When they saw John the Baptist preaching, they said, are you Elijah? Why were they asking that? Because they could see the prophecies of Daniel were fulfilling. The four empires had risen. And they were in the time of the fourth empire. And Malachi had prophesied that Elijah will come before the Lord appears. So they asked John, are you Elijah? So these men, Pharisees, Israelites, they believed in Moses. They believed in Elijah. And they used these two men, Moses and Elijah, to reject Jesus Christ. So they thought they are rejecting Jesus on the basis of Moses and on the basis of Elijah. Why did they believe in these two prophets? Moses was a great figure to them. He taught them the word, the commandments, right? They saw the miracles in Israel and he was a revered figure. So to Israel, Moses is the law giver, the word. He is the one who took them out of Egypt and brought them to the Ten Commandments, the law of God written by the finger of God. Whatever you speak, whatever you teach, has to be measured up against what Moses taught. If you are But Moses died like everyone else. But when they look at Elijah, they see a man who stepped onto the chariots of fire and God took him alive. Two great testimonies to a Jew. Moses, Elijah. Now let us go to Moses himself. One day God called him. And God gave him a song. Well, today people write songs. You compose a song, you think, you add lyrics, you do this and that. No, that's not what Moses was doing. Today what you call musicians, they are really artists. It's just about art. Unfortunately, there is more art than worship, you know. But let us go to Deuteronomy 31. And let us observe what God spoke to Moses. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 19. Let us start from verse 16, then we'll jump over to verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Are we together? Deuteronomy 31, verse 16. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, let us all read together. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Hold there. You know, here are people. In the eyes of Moses, they look like now they believe in him. If Moses says hallelujah, all of them say amen. But hear me. God is not about emotions. He is able to tell how you will be tomorrow, regardless of how zealous you look right now. Remember Peter? Lord, if it is dying, I'll die with you. Jesus says, no. You deny me three times. That is why, no matter how confident you are of yourself, let us always be humble and say, Lord, search my heart. Whatever is not right in me, clean it away from me. Because you don't know yourself. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. If you trust in God, He will help you. Yeah. God spoke to Moses. These people. And you know, they were religious. They seemed committed. Says, these people, you Moses, you are going to die. You won't see the land. As of these people, one day, they will turn away from me. So, there is a song I want you to write down. You need to teach it to them. Let them sing it. Let them teach their children. What song is that? Listen to verse 19. Shall we read verse 19? Now, therefore, all together, please. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song
may be
a witness for me against the children of Israel. Now, those are very strong words. So, Moses, teach it to them. Put it in their mouths. Do you know what that means? Let them practice it over and over. I want it to go down in their minds. Why? Because I want, as they sing this song, when the words in that song comes to pass, God wants them to remember. Verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Now, you know, there are some songs which are long. In the Only Belief, which is the longest song? I shall not be moved. Is there anyone here who has ever sung all the verses of that song?
Yes.
That's good. Hey. If a preacher preaches a long-winded sermon, then at the end he says, let us sing, I shall not be moved. Oh, that's a long song. But I tell you, in Only Believe, and I believe any hymn book, there is no song which is as long as the song of Moses.
It has no chorus. Every verse is different. Let us go into the song. Let's go into the song. The song starts in verse chapter
32.
Shall we read the song? Give ear, O ye heavens, and I'll speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall not distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now, can we read verse 4 with energy? Can you read like you are here? Verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right
is he.
This part of the song speaks about his righteousness. Always remember this, child of God. Whatever you go through, suffering, trial, always remember, you can't lay a blame on God. He is a righteous God. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to verse
6.
Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Did you hear that? It's a song. God tells Moses, these people one day they'll turn away from me. And here the song says, oh foolish people. Don't you know it is God who has made you as a nation? And it's him who has established thee. Verse 8, shall we read together? When the Most High divided to the nations, verse 15 rather. Shall we read verse 15? Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. That is Israel. God made Israel do what? Ride on the high places. Let's read again. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Now, let's explain there. You know what that means? He says, I caused Israel to suck honey out of the rock.
A
rock is a hard place. A hopeless place. You don't hope to find honey there. But out of an impossibility, out of a hard place, God made this nation suck honey out of it. Is that not the story of Israel? Go to the nation today. A place which was a desert thrives with agriculture. Israel exports food to other nations. A place which was a wilderness. As of the other regions of the Arabs, they are still as a wilderness as they are, not Israel. What does he say? Oil out of the flinty rock. Oil. out of this hard brittle rock. Today, Israel is a nation to admire. But do they acknowledge God in that? Let's read verse 15 altogether. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown sick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Child of God, never do that. Are you hearing these words? God said, I blessed you. You sucked honey out of a rock. Oil out of a flinty rock. You were in a situation which was impossible. But at the end of it all, you grew fat.
Why?
You are eating good. You've increased and you are covered with fatness. Watch those last words. And you've done what? Lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. No. Let's interpret that correctly. What is to lightly esteem? Who understands that? What is to lightly esteem?
No, ukusula.
You know, what is to esteem? To esteem is to hold in regard, right? Huh? You know, it's like a young person says, oh, I was abandoned, I was an orphan. But my uncle took me from the village, took me to school, and now I'm doing well. I'm driving, I have a house. I can never forget my uncle. So maybe every month, this child takes something for food at the uncle's home. Who said that child is wise? Is that correct? Yeah. It doesn't have to be your uncle. It has to be your parent. When your parents grow old, they're not working, you are a child. If you are working, whatever you make, take a portion. You give something to the parents, right? What does that show? You highly esteem them. You appreciate for what they did to your life. That's what we do, correct? But here, in this song, God tells Israel, I have done all these things for you, but yet you lightly esteem the rock of your salvation. Wapepusa kwa njia ya Mungu pa moyo wako. Muzo kupepusa chintu hai. So if someone asks that young boy from the village, say, hey, you are doing fine, huh? He says, yes, you know, I was hard working in school. I was hard working in school. I was able to come from the village. You know, and I was really courageous. Later on, I started working, and this is what has happened. If in the story of that young man, the name of the uncle is not coming up, we say he lightly esteems what the uncle did. How many here can say, where you are, it's been the hand of God in your life? come and cancel. You can put your hand down if you don't mind.
Now,
whatever God does in your life, never call such pepusa, never lightly esteem it. You understand that?
Amen.
In your testimony, speak about it. You know, I don't know how religious Benjamin Netanyahu is, but I like it when he speaks at the UN. He is not shy to talk about Joshua. He's not shy to talk about David. He's not shy to talk about the different empires which rose and they tried to vanquish us, but we are still alive as Israel. If you are talking about some good things which have happened in your life, don't forget to say, by the grace and the love of God. It's not your intelligence. It's not your hard working. It's not because you are shrewd and smart. Never lightly esteem the rock of your salvation. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar. He saw, even when someone is a non-believer, there is no one who can excel without the hand of God. It is God who raises, it's God who puts one down. Even the devil himself, the breath of life he has is in the hands of God. Did you know that? Yes. Even Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. But God allowed him to build the big city. And one day he said, is not this me, Nebuchadnezzar, who has done this? Then God says, God took it out. He became like an animal. We are what we are by the grace and the providence of God. When you see another person who is poor, don't try to show him like you are a better planner or you are smarter. God gave you a providence. Whatever you are, it's his grace. Probably that's how far that person can go. That, do you know you can never cross a limit, a boundary that God has set? Did you know that? Therefore, fear God. If he has allowed you a privilege to see something deeper, worship him. And have compassion for another who doesn't have the grace which is upon your life. The thing you can do is to give and share the little that you have. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Reminds me of the story I've told before. We were coming through Ring Road and we entered Kamwala. Terry was a small boy then. He's still a small boy. He was much younger at that time. So across I saw this poor old woman. Looked very melancholy on the face. Hungry, disoriented, you know, and somewhat drunk, you would say. So, I was having a dish where my wife would cook scones. She would make scones I used to sell at my workplace. So I was a salesperson. So I would always go with that, I don't know what you call it, like a lunch box, like now these big ones. So a lot of scones are stacked in there. And so when it's a good business day, I would manage to sell everything. And I would of course count through the money to make sure everything is in place. That time I was broke, you know, I didn't have anything. The vehicle didn't have fuel. But I was a faithful accountant. I put all the little monies safely. And at the end of the day, I'll tell Nora, okay, this is what they've paid. And then there are two, they said they'll pay tomorrow and blah, 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 you know. So this day I was driving, and you know that's a busy road, and it's on the traffic lights there. So Terry's attention was caught up by this poor woman. She's asking for money, you know, from the windows, from these vehicles which are parked. So, but the boy was so overwhelmed emotionally. So he said, Daddy, give her something. I said, I don't have money, you know. I don't have money. And then the traffic lights turned green. So we moved. We went quite a distance. We got over into Kafue Road. And I was heading towards that flyover bridge. So I had covered about maybe 3 kilometers. 2-3 kilometers thereabout. So when I looked behind, I first saw through the mirror, you know. So Terry was crying. His eyes were red. Say, what happened? What is it? He said, we should have given that woman something. She doesn't look okay. Oh, I said, now, the only money we have is the scones. I asked him, I said, you want us to turn around, we go to her? He said, yes, and his eyes were red. He says, yeah, let's go give her something. Well, I drove back. I was low on fuel and we had to drive back. I thought this is a conviction he is having, and you can't tell what God is doing in another heart, right? Well, I had to turn around and we just had to go back. And when we reached there, I couldn't see the woman now. Tried to park over the parking space there. The bus stop, rather. Tried to look around, and I asked these bus stop boys if there was this woman. And Terry spotted her. There she is. So quickly we called her. I took that money and counted it. I said, how much should we give her? I wanted to ask him because he's the source of the inspiration, you know. I was looking at it in terms of maybe a 20 kwacha or something like that. But he said, give her everything. What would that do to Nora's business?
Says,
give her everything. Said, hey, what do we tell mom? I knew my wife would be okay with that. So I just gave the whole stack of money and gave it to her. And afterwards, Terry was smiling again. He felt fulfilled. And many thoughts started going through my mind. How many of you, those of you who drive? I mean, you always see these people asking for things, right? And sometimes you can encourage yourself to say, well, this is not encouraged, you know. I'll encourage this wrong behavior of being on the streets and you drive on. And in a way, there's a point in that. We don't want to encourage young people to do that on the streets. Sometimes you look at people who are able-bodied and you think, why can't they organize something so that they start selling something than doing what they're doing? But I can tell you this. There are those, yes, who abuse whatever they're doing on the roads there. But let's not look at the face of a human being with the same face and assume they all have the same story. What is important is to have discernment. You'll be able to hear and know which person needs to be assisted, right? But whatever the situation, never allow your mind to come to a point of like, can't that person be doing something like this, like that? Never try to express like you think better than the other person who is begging. Everything about you is God's grace and providence. Always remind yourself of that. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at this. That's the song Moses said they should sing. Now look at verse 18. Shall we read together? Of the rock, shall we read together? Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, shall we read? Of the rock that begat thee, thou art. I'm not satisfied. Let us read it. We can do better. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and has forgotten God that formed. How many can say that is true about the nation of Israel?
Amen.
Yeah. Jehovah is the rock that produced that nation. And there is no nation like the nation of
Israel.
When Jesus came, they rejected him. But listen to this. Listen to what God says in verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Now this is the song of Moses. And it's prophetic. A fire Everyone say a fire.
Umuriro
is kindled.
Now koshiwa.
In mine.
Kubukali wandi.
Hello? In mine?
Kubukali wandi.
Mm. And shall burn unto the
Kabidi ule meteka kufika na kumbo.
What fire is this? What fire is that? Which has kindled. And he says, in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Let us go to Revelation 9, verse 2.
Chapter 9, Sokolona chapter 9, verse 2.
Here is it. Before you read, let me say this. We won't always continue as Gentiles enjoying these times we're having. The gospel is with us. I was reading the news the other time, and there was a story that there is a lot of interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ in Asia now than ever before. Countries which were dominated by Hinduism, Buddhism, do you know the gospel has been moving with the sun? It started in the East, Jerusalem. Paul, the disciples, the apostles. Then later on it started moving through the church ages. It started moving towards the West, across Europe. You have Irenaeus. After Irenaeus, you continue moving across the West, you have Columba. Sorry, you have Martin. After Martin, you have Columba. After Columba, you have Martin Luther. Then you have John Wesley. We are now in America. A Pentecostal revival breaks out there. And from America, you see Pentecostalism spreading to the world. But here is something. The gospel started with a revival in Jerusalem, speaking in tongues. And if there is a day people can speak and abuse tongues, it's in this day. Gentiles are trading on sacred things. Go on Facebook. Every reel and a joke who have the name of Jesus in the joke, in the laughter, in the cursing. Have you noticed that?
Jesus.
There was a time when a Gentile says the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a sacred name. Today, comedians speak it in comedy. Musicians, whether it's ungodly music, they will throw in hallelujah and Jesus in that, and Gentiles will dance to that. There's this fellow who died recently. A comedian. Something mushi. Mwine mushi. Oh. Hey, I was shocked that that's an end time message. Preacher. I couldn't bring the two things together. Because in all the jokes he used to mention, he would always mention Jesus Christ. Do you remember that?
Jesus Christ.
Abusa piri kosa kamba votero muntana mwalira. You think death changes what you've done here on earth? It doesn't. What has happened to the Gentiles? This is no longer sacred. Believe me, you. There are many churches who are gathered this morning. Don't be a fool to think they worship Jesus Christ. Don't be foolish. The name of Jesus is desecrated every day. In jokes, in singing, it's not the name of Jesus that people are honoring in churches. There is a heavy darkness which has covered many assemblies, including end time message churches. Always remember, there is no church which will save you. Not even this one. You can sit there. Only God knows what is going on in your life. Fear God and serve Him with everything that is in you. Don't do things for dress up, for us to see each other. I tell you what, if the Lord tarries, all of us one day will die. I may start, you may start. One day I'll die. People will shed tears. Now. A nice picture will be put. 2, 3, 4 months, I'll be off the memory of everyone. What will become of this church? I have no idea. This is just a building. The true church is you. If there's rubbish in your heart, you are dead. There's no holiness in the walls of this building. Holiness can only be in your heart. As a person. Do you understand that?
That's right. Amen.
Fear God. Don't try to conform and look good before people, but you are rotten inside. We are all mortals here. But let's fear God. What was that where we were reading from? Now look here.
Morning.
A day is coming when God will take His people in the rapture. I believe it with everything in me. When that comes, when that happens, mercy for Gentiles is over. We won't recognize this world. And listen, all world events will be focused on what is happening in Israel. Because God has to open the eyes of the Jew to realize that the Jesus who came 2,000 years ago was the
Messiah.
That's after the rapture. And how will God do that? He will raise 2 prophets. Now remember, the song of Moses says it will be a witness against the people, right? Do you remember those words we read? Moses, write this song for a witness against these people. What witness? They lightly esteemed the work of God. Now, God will raise these two prophets. Before we read chapter 9, let's read what these two prophets will do. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, verse 3, shall we all read? And I, can we all read verse 3? Revelation 11, verse 3. Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And we know this is Moses and Elijah.